Good morning to all of you. I feel like I'm in the wrong spot. I know it's been said up here before. This is my first time, though, in the summer that I've spoken on the Sunday morning, and I feel like I'm cheating or something. I feel wide awake, though. I'm ready to go. People that have known me since I was Nico's age or even younger, is it strange to see the wrinkles in my face and the gray in my hair and everything? I just look up there and think about you being a senior, son. It's amazing that you've come that far, and that you're taller than me. So I want to give a shout out to, and first of all, I want to back up. Ashton and Ryan, of course, I love you too. Okay, so this doesn't mean that I'm ignoring you, but I'm giving a shout out to Elena this morning. Awesome. It's a Bible, I understand. But the back of this Bible has more information, more references, more helpful things than I've ever had in any Bible. And I'll admit, the last couple times that I was getting ready to speak, I was just stumped. I'm like, there's nothing coming to me. How can that be? First day I was flipping through this, I thought, you know what? It's going to be long after I pass away before I run out of things that are basically discussed and already made up into topics for me. It's a real blessing. It makes it pretty easy. So I was thinking about my topic and what I would actually call it, and I've decided that I would entitle this morning, Man, I Wish I Would Have Said That. And what do I mean by that? Well, of course, have you ever relived a conversation from your past? And when you go in that conversation, maybe it was an argument with somebody that you really lost, and you think, man, if I would have just said that, I would have really won it. And you're always brilliant when you're looking backwards, right? Well, I run into this every once in a while in discussions of religion. And the reason is, I get nervous when talking, particularly somebody that's unconverted, I get nervous when I'm talking to them, not because I don't know what to say, but I don't know where it is. You know, I've got the verses, but I can't turn to them and say, look, it says it right here in the Bible. I'm just telling them that. And if I can't show it to some people, it's never going to be proved to them. So what I'd like to do this morning is give you a few verses that you can use to some of these questions that I'm going to present to you. I have more verses on each topic than what I'm going to use this morning. I'm not trying to arrogantly say that you would want them, but if you do, I'll email them to you. You can get a copy of my notes. You can stop me after church. Maybe you already know them yourself. But what I would like to discuss this morning are excuses for not being converted. The first excuse that I'd like to cover is, not today. Out of all the excuses I'm going to cover today, this one is perhaps the most offensive. It's the dumbest one that I can think of. Because not today, doesn't that sort of indicate acknowledgement that you know? You know your God, you know what you're supposed to do, but what you're choosing to do is ignore it. I'm not going to do it today. I think that's a bad idea. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 says, Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, How much longer will you waver? Hobbling between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. The people were completely silent. Again, as I said earlier, if you know your God, don't ignore him. Proverbs 27 and 1. Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. We use that up here a lot. I know I use it a lot. I use it when I'm begging the people at the end of a service to come forward, save your soul. We see so much tragedy in our lives, right? I picking through the paper the other day, there's like a 24-year-old kid running away on his motorcycle and then crashed. He's dead. He's gone. He has no chance. But you know, it isn't necessarily death that makes you have no chance. What if that person had lived and he had no opportunity to do anything because now he has no mind? But it doesn't have to do anything with an accident, does it? Because I'm careful. I'm not going to be in an accident. These things are not going to be a problem for me. What if tomorrow brings your Lord? You don't have to die to not have a chance. Another reason for not today is you're too busy living your life for yourself. You figure that you'll get around to living for God when it's convenient for you. I'm guilty of that one previous in my life. And I've said it up here before, and I'm saying it this morning. I'm lucky that I didn't pass away from this earth when I was a young man. I know where my end would have been. So I got lucky. Luke chapter 12, 15 through 21 says, life is not measured by, I'm starting in the middle of the 15th verse, life is not measured by how much you own. Then he told them a story. A rich man had fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have stored enough, stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you'll die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. It's your first goal here on, or should be your first goal here on earth, to worship your God. It comes before everything else. Does that mean you can't do other things with your life? No, of course not. You can have multiple things that you're doing as long as it all reflects well upon what you're doing with worshiping your God. Sorry about that. My fingers are dry. I shouldn't turn the page until I'm done with my thought. The next excuse that I want to cover this morning is, it's too late. It's too late. You think you've sinned for so long and so abundantly, so horribly that you can't be saved. And of course, the story that comes to my mind right now is Paul. There was no greater adversary for a Christian than Paul, and yet then there was no greater ally as a man here on earth when he was converted. Ezekiel 33:19 says, if wicked people turn from their wickedness and do what is just and right, they will live. When should those wicked people turn? Well, now. There's no indication in there that they were sinning too long and too much, and it says that they will live. And remember, and I know that we know this, but remember that live is talking about an eternity of life. Whereas death, they're talking about eternity of death, eternity in hell. You will live if you turn away from your wickedness. In Matthew chapter 20 is the parable of the vineyard. And I'm not going to read the whole thing this morning, but to summarize, as you recall, those who worked for just a short time that day got the same amount of pay as the people that worked the whole day. And though there was some grumbling about that, the point is this. God's ready for you. It doesn't matter if you were saved when you were 5 years old, if you were saved when you were 50 years old. He's ready for you. It's never too late. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. The next excuse is, I tried once and I failed. I considered whether or not I was going to cover this morning. I guess I will. And if it's a surprise to anybody, particularly anybody in my family, I'm sorry. But I was a smoker. I don't know, 15 years or so. And I tried, goodness, I tried so many times to quit. And you know, I know it's not good for me. But the truth is that the times that I failed, I didn't really want to. I wasn't ready to quit. And yes, I look back with great regret on all those years, by the way. Anyway, you have to be ready, and it's easier with help. My wife was great support for me when I went through the difficult times. And you can be kind of grumpy when you don't have your nicotine, just in case anybody out there has never smoked. It can make you into a different person. It's horrible. But Jude 24 says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into His glorious presence without a single fault. You have the greatest ally in God. It doesn't matter if you've tried once but fallen away. He is able to keep you from falling away. You know, I look at it, a little story that I was thinking about when I was thinking about this point this morning. It's a parent teaching their kid to ride a bike. And you put this kid on there who doesn't know anything about balancing the bike, and you're teaching them. It's not because you want to harm them. You want to teach them something good. And you know what? They're probably going to fall, and they're probably going to get hurt, and they're going to get up, and they're going to try again, and they're going to fail. And you lovingly put your hand on them until you encourage them, and end up, they can ride a bike. And I think it kind of feels the same way to me, that God's there for you. He's going to encourage you. And if you try and you fail, He's going to be there for you again. Just keep trying. You're going to get it right. The next point. there are too many things that are unexplained. Yeah, that's true. And it can be something that can really put a stumbling block in your life. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. You are not accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that He has revealed to us, so that we must obey, so we may obey all the terms of those instructions." As a younger man, I used to think, and what I've noticed through the years, when you actually start paying attention to speakers, they have a few themes that they kind of stick with. Every once in a while, it always they repeat themselves. And if I'm repeating myself up here, sorry. But what I thought I would do was I would answer or ask all these questions when I saw God. And mainly, my questions had to do with... now I've forgotten the word to describe them. Sorry. I was going to say fantasies, but that's not the word either. You'll see what I mean. Are there really Martians? Was Bigfoot a real creature? Was the Loch Ness Monster a real creature? I had all these awesome questions that I wanted to get answered. I don't think I'm really going to care. I like to call my crazy philosophizing about things that you can't answer my 4 a.m. brain. Because don't you ever have you ever had a night where you're up 4 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking about something that you're just never going to get an answer to, and it causes you to not be able to sleep, and you think maybe you got it all figured out, and the truth is that you're just never going to know it. Don't let that 4 a.m. brain get in the way of your salvation. The only real question I need to ask when I see my God is, was I worthy of your grace? The rest of those questions aren't going to matter. The next excuse, I don't need a Savior. So just trying to be a good person, or actually even being a person, that can't be wrong, right? It's a good thing, just being a good person. But is it enough? John 3:18 says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him. But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." Sounds like there's just a little bit more to it, right, than being just a good person. You have to believe. Why? Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And how are we paid back for that sin?" Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And remember, life is eternity in heaven. Death is eternity in hell. "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You do need a Savior. And the one great thing about it, well, there are many great things about it, but the great thing about it I'm thinking about right now is the cost. It's free. All it costs is your belief and your obedience to what you learned and what you know. The next excuse. God is love. There is no danger. Yeah, God is love. Absolutely. The most important thing that we learn about. The love of God has for us and how we're taught to love one another. I have a favorite line from a song in one of a musical. I don't speak French. What is it? Les Miserables. To love another person is to see the face of God. I love that line. That's the right musical, right? Okay. And I just think it's so true. You know, God is love, and it's such a nice thing that I can reflect well upon myself and upon the Lord by loving my family, by loving my children, by loving my friends. God is love. Yes, He's a loving Father. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell, into gloomy pits of darkness where they are being held until the day of judgment." Am I better than an angel? I think not. I'm not going to count on it. Yes, God is love, but that doesn't disregard your need to be obedient. Here's a tough one for me. I can't leave my old companions. I can't get away from my old friends. When I was living in Illinois, particularly, and I know that this is not unique just to my profession, but as an air traffic controller, pretty rough crowd. Pretty tasteless jokes. Disregard for the opposite sex. Heavy drinkers. Foul speakers. Bad language. It's pretty easy to just sit there and be part of the crowd and laugh at all that or join in it. So I've told myself when I was moving out here that I wouldn't let any of those things be part of my life anymore because nobody out here knew me. I mean, I know that you knew me here, but my friends or my coworkers at the golf course certainly didn't know me. And I would be a perfect and upright person. They would know from the beginning that I was a Christian. You know, it's easy to just keep laughing at the same old jokes. It's hard to put that in your past. Maybe not for everyone. It's hard for me. You need to stay away from those people that bring you down. I can remember at one point in my life thinking that it was frightening for me to the thought of going over to a Christian friend's home because all I was going to talk about over there was God. Well, first of all, wouldn't that be awesome? And second of all, it's just not the way it is, right? We're all human, and we enjoy human things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That camaraderie, that companionship that we can have with one another. You know, I had going over to the Georges for a couple of their Bible studies. That was so nice. You know, when we get together here on Sunday afternoons, it's so much fun. And I apologize that I ever had that thought. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers." One of the thoughts that you can stumble upon, and I guess, and maybe that's what I'm doing up here, and maybe everyone else does this when they're up here, is a lot of times my sermons turn into confessions. But I would worry that, okay, now I'm going to be this good person. I'm going to be this good Christian. And sure, I can accomplish it, but the thing that's going to be hard is that I'm going to be ridiculed. And none of my friends that have known me as this bad person, they're not even going to believe it. They're going to roll their eyes and say, "Oh yeah, you're this good person now. What happened to you and why are you so good?" And you know what? If they have that attitude toward you, good! That means you're doing it right. You can leave your old companions, or you can certainly ignore the things that they're doing that are bringing you down. And you have a wonderful group of companions sitting right here with you this morning. My last point. There are too many hypocrites in the church. That's an argument. I've heard it murmured even here. I've got a nice little group of verses here, though. Romans 14:10-12. "So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the Scripture says, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess and give praise to God.' Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God." Too many hypocrites? That ain't your problem, brother. You worry about your own salvation. And when you're living the right life, it just might be that by your example, you'll make somebody else's life better because they'll want to be like you. So in conclusion this morning, yes, you need a Savior. Though He is a loving God, don't try His love by disobeying Him. You can not only leave your old friends, you can leave your old you. Don't worry about the things that you can't understand. Worry about following the message and the things that you know. If you have tried and failed, don't worry. God will still accept you if you ask. And your brothers and sisters are all here to help you too. It's not too late. But it could be. if you choose to wait and ignore the call? When will you obey the call of the Lord? Not today? Why not today? If you have needs that we can help you with this morning, you can come forward as we stand and sing.